Okay, good evening. So our topic tonight is called What's Really Important? The Basics of Ikar and Tafel. One of the interesting things about the way we eat is that we don't often eat just one food on its own. If I sit down and I only eat broccoli, so, okay, broccoli is a bori pri ha'adama, end of conversation. But let's say you have a dish that involves macaroni with broccoli, no?
Yeah,
or macaroni and cheese with broccoli.
Which
bracha do you make? So that's going to be our conversation tonight.
Yeah, if you have ice cream that's got nuts on it.
You have ice cream that has nuts on it. Or I have an ice cream that has nuts on it, and the ice cream is held up in a cone. Mm. Right? So what bracha do I make? Do I make a shahakol on the ice cream? Do I make a mezonos on the cone? Do I make a ha'et on the nuts on the ice cream? Right? Which bracha do I make? Now, one could also contend that maybe you make all of the brachas, right? That would be interesting. I remember as a kid thinking about that. I remember sitting at a meal and I'm saying, okay, well, like when I have a lot of different foods mixed together, so I should make a bracha on everything. But then I realized, one second, but inside, like, remember, you know the Bill Cosby routine about chocolate cake? And what goes in, so that's nutrition, because, like, there's cocoa, and there's milk, and there's sugar. Well, you think about it, well... Right? Well, chocolate should be a ha'etz that we spoke about. Well, what bracha did I make on chocolate cake? Oh, my gosh, and I start to get dizzy. So the halacha is, that is found here in a Mishnah in Brachos and Daf Mem Daled, which is the first din that we have on our source sheet. The Mishnah says, "Heviu lefanav meliach tchila upas imo." If they bring me salty food and they bring me bread with the salty food, mivarech al hamaliach upotir es hapas. I make a brach on the salty food and potir es hapas, and I exempt the bread. Shahapas tfeilalo, because the bread in this case is tafel, is secondary to the salty fish.
So are you saying that?
Zehaklal, this is the rule. Ko shehu ikar v'imot feila. You see it? If I have one food item that is ikar, that is the main item, the imot feila, and with it I have a secondary item, mivarech al ha'ikar, upoter ha'tfeila. I make the bracha on the main food item, and I pater, and I exempt the other. Fine? That's the basic rule that we know. Cereal and milk, no? This one's easy. I eat in the morning, life, I like life very much. Mi'o yishe chofetz chayim, life is very good. That's an endorsement. So you eat life with milk. So the halacha is that you make a mizonos. No? Mizonos, because the life is mizonos. The milk was shahakol. It's ikar and tafel. The milk is tafel. Tafel means it's subservient. It's an accessory. It helps the cereal, no?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I only make one bracha. Good. Now, the Gemara asks, the case of Ikar and Tafel is a little bit of a strange case that's found in the Mishnah. I'm eating a salty fish, and I'm eating bread with the salty fish. So the Gemara says, Umi Ikar midi dava maliach Ikar past feila. How could it be that the salty food is Ikar and the bread is Tafel? Amrav Acha, Bred Rav Avira, Amrav Ashi, Ba'ochle Peyot Ginosar Shana. We're talking about that you're eating these very succulent, very, very sweet fruits called Peyot Ginosar. And because the fruits are so sweet, so therefore, I have to mitigate the sweetness of the fruits. So what I do is I eat a salty fish to mitigate the sweetness, no? And then my salty fish is so salty, it's almost like chad gadya, right? So what I do is I eat bread to take away the saltiness of the salty fish. Got it? So really, I have three things. Right, I have my very sweet fruits, my peyot ginosar, and then I have my salty fish, and then I have my bread. So what bracha should I make? Three things. So I would say that I make a...
Hamotzi.
Hamotzi. That's the ikar, that's what you say. That would be wrong. You could say that. But no, the pas, the bread is tafel. Right? The bread is secondary to the fish. So you should make a bracha on the fish. But the fish is secondary to the fruit. So you should make a bracha on the fruit, no?
But when the...
So then maybe I should make a ha'etz, and that counts for everything.
But when the hamotzi cover everything?
If it's part of a meal that I have bread at the beginning, then hamotzi covers everything, which is also a type of ikar and tafel. Maybe we'll discuss that a bit tonight. Yeah, if it's part of the meal, hamotzi covers everything. But over here, I'm eating the bread at the very end to mitigate the disastrous effects of my very salty fish. So the bread is not ikar. The bread is clearly not ikar. Now, Tosus asks the question. The next source. Tosus says, right, that the salty fish is the ikar, and the bread that comes afterwards is tafel, etc. V'im tomar. So Tosus asks in the middle, maybe peiros have the ikar, umaliach tafel, v'livarech al ha-peiros v'liftar kulhu. Tosus asks the question. So make the, right, three things. Make the bracha on the fruit, and let the fruit work for everything. V'yesh lomar. Tosus answers, d'mayrish lo acha peiros ba'usa maimid. The case is that I ate the fruit beforehand, somewhere else. And then I come, right, and oh my gosh, like my mouth is like so sweet, I can't handle it. So I quickly run and I buy like a good herring. No? That's what you're doing. Second answer. Inami, b'shoshach operoski nosar, lo haya sham adayin maliach, upas, de lo haya yodea sheyechlo shlibo machmas hamsikos. Or else Tosa says, when I ate the fruit, I didn't have my salty fish yet. I didn't realize how sweet it would be. So therefore, I ate it, and then, oh my gosh, I can't handle it anymore, so then I eat the fish. So that's why the bracha on the fruits don't work on the fish, because I didn't know I was going to eat fish. Now, what we have to do is a few fold. We have to talk about this halacha of ikar and tafel, and then we're going to have to analyze it a bit. This is the source. These like four lines of Gemara, right? That little Tosus is all you got to know. And then Judaism is very simple. But let's try to analyze it to the best of our ability.
Okay. The Kiddush one frequently serves herring on a cracker.
Herring on a cracker. So what bracha is herring on a cracker?
I usually make shahakal because the main thing is the herring.
The main thing is the herring. So is the cracker only to serve the herring? You see, when I have the very salty fish and I eat my cracker after, I eat my bread afterwards, I'm only eating the bread because I want to mitigate the effects of the salty fish. If I desire the bread also, so then the bread becomes ikar. That is a psak that the Mishnah Brura has. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to...
So that would be like eating something very spicy Indian or Mexican food. And
then you've got to wash it. You need like the water. Agua, agua, agua. Right?
Except for water spreads it, so you have bread to mitigate it.
Exactly. Okay. And that's precisely the point that we're discussing. So the halacha is that the bread in this case becomes tafel to the salty fish. The Mishnah Berurah in one place quotes that halacha. I'd have to find it for you. That if you desire... Actually, I think I have it. Shar HaTzion Sifkat and Chof Aleph. Is there a Shar HaTzion somewhere in this sheet? Yeah, the bottom. Right, so basically, that Shar HaTzion is commenting on the line in the Mishnah Brura, where the Shar HaTzion is telling me, the Mishnah Brura is telling me that what? That if I really want to eat the cracker also, so then it has to be a mezonos in that case. Right? In that case, because I really want to eat it, so then it becomes a mezonos. But let's just talk for a few minutes about mixtures of foods. When do I get one bracha? When do I get two brachos? So, the rules are as follows. The case in the Gemara is a case that I'm eating the bread only to help my salty fish, no? I have no desire whatsoever for the bread. So the bread is completely subservient to that salty fish. So far, so good? Even though I'm not eating them together, still I apply the rule of ikar and tafel. As opposed to my cereal and milk case, where I am eating the cereal with the milk. No? That's a different type of ikar and tafel. Now, usually, ikar and tafel means that one item helps the other. And Shulchan Aruch writes here, let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe that's a good way to begin the conversation. Koshu ikar v'imo tfeila, the top of the page. Mevarech ala ikar poter at tfeila. Be'mi bracha shalafaneha, be'mi bracha shalachareha. Point one. This rule works both on the first bracha and on the last bracha. Right? In other words, in that case of eating the salty fish with the bread, what bracha achrona do I make? Barei nefashos. I don't bench. Even though I had bread, I don't bench. It's like a trick question. How do you eat bread and make a shahakol on that bench?
Well, because the bread's
the bread is tafel, right? Next, lo mi baya im ha'ikar me'uravim ha'tafel afilo kol echad levado. Not only when it's mixed together, but even when each one is eaten on its own. In other words, there is a type of ikar and tafel when they are mixed together. That's like cereal and milk. And there's another type when I'm eating them separately. And even bread, which is the most important food in the world, if it's tafel, like the case that we had, still you make the bracha on the fish and you exempt the bread. So there's two types of ikar and tafel. There's ikar and tafel that we call mu'urav, that's mixed together, and there's ikar and tafel that's not mu'urav. The ikar and tafel that's not mu'urav, it has to be that there's a direct link between these two foods. Meaning, I'm only eating bread because the bread is helping me with the very saltiness of the fish. If I desire the bread on its own, I have to make a hamotzi on that bread. No? Similarly, I have dinner, and I have mashed potatoes and chicken. They're both on the same plate together. They're not mixed. How many brachos do I make? Two brachos. Right? Why? Because I desire each of them. They are not mixed together. So then it gets two brachos. Oh. The only time there is one bracha when the foods are not mixed together is if one item is helping the other. One item is necessary to eat the other. So far, so good? Yeah, orally.
What about if you have like often like sherbrachos, the like bowls that are made out of like a tortilla or cracker holding a salad in it?
Okay, good. So what would we say about that? So if the item is there only to hold it,
that's tafel.
Right? That is completely tafel. So the poskim distinguish between ice cream cones and sugar cones. No?
Wait,
an ice cream cone is there just to hold my ice cream. It would be like the bread that helps. Now, it's not exactly the same. The bread that helps with the fish, you can't eat the fish bichlal without the bread. It's so, but it's very similar because it's there only to assist me in eating the ice cream. I don't want to get, why do I have an ice cream cone? Because human beings don't like dirty, sticky, ice creamy hands. Right? So therefore you eat an ice cream cone, and then when you're 3/4 of the way done, your hands get all dirty, and especially with your kids. Ice cream cone is like the most dirty food on the planet, correct?
But you go into an ice cream store, they give you a choice. Do you want it in a cup or in a cone? So the fact that you request a cone means...
So the fact that I request a cone just means, many poskim say,
yes,
that I like my ice cream taller.
And so,
what? Because I can't lick it when it's in a cup,
yeah.
Right? I like a taller ice cream because it's easier to hold. If someone would invent like a stick and the ice cream like on a retractable, I'm telling you, you'll make millions of dollars, right?
Could you?
What?
They have
push pops. They have it for ice cream also.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
I haven't seen it.
But they do have now these like plastic holders.
The plastic holders that you don't get so dirty.
Yes.
But the fact is, most poskim, he paskins this way, Rabbi Forrest in his book, a regular ice cream cone is a complete tafel, right? And therefore, mm-hmm. I only make a shahakol. But if I eat a sugar cone, so I want it. Right? I want them, or you know the really good ones, like the chocolate covered cones? Those stuff are great. Right? So those chocolate covered cones, you have to make in that situation two brachas, because you want both. It's like my mashed potatoes and my chicken on the plate. I want both things. When I want both things, two brachas.
Couldn't you make the argument, just like the cone that it's holding the ice cream, that the what's his face?
My sugar cone?
The sugar cone is holding the ice cream.
It and is holding the ice cream, but it can't be a complete. But it can't be a complete tough fail. Because remember, if I am hungry for bread, even though I ate a very salty fish, but if I want the bread, two brachas. So that's why when I have my at the kiddush, I have herring with crackers,
yes.
Two brachas. Because you want both of them, no? Even though I'm eating it together, if I want both, I can make two brachas, right? Providing that the two items are largely distinct, which we'll talk about in a minute.
When did you put the ice cream cone?
Means also largely distinct in the sense I could eat the ice cream without the cone. I could eat the cone without the ice cream. No, I could bite the bottom. So it's not advised. Do not try this at home. But you can technically eat an ice cream cone from the bottom. You just get the right. You have to try. All kids tried this at some point. No,
yeah.
You eat it from the bottom. Right, that's. That's the fun of it. You could eat them separately. So because I could eat them separately, it's two food items, my sugar cone and my ice cream, two brachas.
But couldn't you say that...
Right?
Couldn't you say that your desire is the ice cream and not the cone? I mean, not the sugar cone?
Listen, I could say lots of things. The question is what most people... Again, obviously there's some subjectivity involved, but I think most people think the way I think. That's... general first life. Now, next.
I'll go with that.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
That would be distinguished from chip and dip because you wouldn't typically eat the dip by itself.
So chip and dip I wouldn't eat by itself. So is my chip, is it there? So again, you have to be honest with yourself. Am I eating the chip because I like the chip also? Am I eating the chip only so my hands don't get dirty? Mm-hmm. If I'm eating it just so my hands don't get dirty, salsa and what are those things? They're very good. You know, the Snoops? What are they? Scoops, right?
Yeah.
And those are very good, right? So then, hey, that.
Tortilla
chips.
Celery
dipped. Right, so in that case,
yes.
Generally speaking, it's like salad dressing, right? So salad dressing is an accoutrement for the salad. No?
But you really want the
so
dip.
So if I really want the dip, so... Again, often there's some judgment calls over here. Can you eat them separately? I could bite the celery, and could I eat the dip without the celery? I don't know.
No one would do that.
No one would do that. It's not done, right? It's not done. Okay, now...
What's the bracha for hummus?
What's a bracha? The chumas is... I mean, generally, I think we assume that the chumas is just a complete tough fail to the... If I put it on my cracker, I always eat it together. The herring with the cracker... Is that one bracha or that two brachas?
Didn't you just say it was two?
Yeah, so now I'm thinking aloud with you. I'm trying... I'm sorry if I'm going to... There is a machlokas between Rebbe Yashiv and his son-in-law, Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky, about the Israeli practice of Yerushalmi kugel with a pickle.
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
sweet and sour. Right? You have Yerushalmi kugel with a pickle. No, they have, like, spicy Yerushalmi kugels. Right? And then they always have, like, you know those Israeli pickles that they look like they were shriveled up from 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? So... So some assume that's one bracha, some assume that's two brachas. I think that would be the same issue probably as the herring with the cracker because technically I could eat each one separately, but now the practice is that we put them together. Unlike a very thin coating on a piece of bread, on the cracker, the jam, which is there just to enhance my bread or my cracker, right? Over here, it's a more substantial item. So then the debate as to whether it's one bracha or two brachos comes into play. Don't know. Now, let's just go slowly. So Ikar and Tafel, first type of Ikar and Tafel is they are mixed together. Next type of Ikar and Tafel is they are not mixed together. I'm eating them separately, but it completely assists or makes possible, right, the eating of the salty fish. Right? That's the second type of Ikar and Tafel. Now, when the Ikar and Tafel are mixed together, so usually I know which is the Ikar, which is the Tafel. I usually know that my cereal, my milk is helping me eat the cereal, no? Because my grandmother always told me if you eat dry cereal, it'll scratch your stomach lining and like bad things will happen. So therefore, I have to have my milk in the cereal, right? This is obvious. This is like Judaism 101.
Nutrition 101.
I think most grandmothers say this. Right? It wasn't just my grandmother. Right? Now.
Whatever.
But the fact is, sometimes, though, I'm eating a mixture, and I want both parts of it. No, I don't want one part of it. I want both parts. So, in that situation, like for example, let me give you an example. My wife makes shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie is meat with a shepherd on top. meat with a potato. Yeah. Right? It's mashed potatoes on top of meat. Right? That's basically shepherd's pie. You eat it together. Now, unlike my mashed potatoes and chicken, which is on the plate, and they're just on the same plate, this is mamish together. So what bracha do I make on shepherd's pie? So the Achronim say if you eat two foods together, it depends. What do you consider to be the Ikar, what do you consider to be the Tafel? What do you consider to be most important? Well, let's say I don't know which one is most important. I want both of them.
There is no important.
They're both Ikar, right? So, in that situation, the poskim say you follow Rov, the majority.
In volume.
Right? So, what's the majority in volume? Probably my potatoes, no?
In this economy,
right? Probably the potatoes are the majority. So according to that, even though meat, you could argue it's meat, but no, the fact is that you want both of them. So therefore, you would only make a ha'adama, it would seem, on shepherd's pie. So far, so good. Is mizonos? So mizonos wins generally, yes. With the one that we spoke about weeks ago, we spoke about schnitzel, etc. But yes, mizonos always is considered ikar. Mm. Now,
what about ice cream and the cone? The cone would be mizonos.
Well, again, but mizonos can be a tafel if I eat it. Mizonos is always Ikar. Okay, if you want to know the difference between an Ikar and Tafel when they are mixed and when they are not mixed, this rule that Mizonos is always Ikar is only formulated by the mixed Ikar and Tafels. By the not mixed Ikar and Tafels, like my bread after my salty fish that the Gemara has, right? So then in that case, Mizonos and even Hamotzi can become a Tafel. Right? That's clear. I have four differences between the mixed Ikar and Tafels and not mixed Ikar and Tafels. Maybe we'll talk about that separately, but we're going slower than I thought. So, let's go on. So, if I have food items that are mixed together, the rove of the... If I follow which one I desire most. Strawberries and sour cream. Which one you like most? Normal people want the strawberries and the sour cream. So what bracha is it? Hadama. No? That's hadama, because strawberries and sour cream, right? The sour cream is like the suri on the milk. So far, so good? But when I want both of them, what happens? I follow Rove. That's my shepherd's pie. That's the consensus of poskim. So what about my fruit cocktails? You know, I used to love this as a kid. I remember my parents one time took us to a restaurant. There used to be a restaurant in the city called La Deference. It was like a very fancy restaurant. So one time my parents took us there, whatever the reason we were celebrating. So they come around and they ask if anyone wants cocktails. So a little 9-year-old Ezra Schwartz pipes up and says, I love fruit cocktail. And no one had any idea what I was talking about. Because in that restaurant, now, you know what fruit cocktail is. You know, they have like the cut up little fruits in the thing, right? So what's in there? Usually you have cherry. Right? The cherries are always like the most precious commodity. There are very few cherries. You have peach, a lot of peach, and pineapple. Right? Usually there's less pineapple than peach and cherry together. So it should be a ha'etz. Because you follow rov. That is standard normative Judaism. We have a member of the Shir who's generally here, but is not here tonight, who's a big fan of the Chaya Adam, so he would pipe up and tell me, oh, but the Chaya Adam says differently. The Chaya Adam is found in this source packet, in the back, last sheet. Chaya Adam writes, Erev, beis minim she'en berchoseim shavin, if I mix two things that don't have the same bracha. For example, borei pri ha'etz with borei pri ha'adama, and similar. Af api sheba litein tam, holchin acha harov u'mevarech alav. You follow rov and you make a bracha. V'davka b'inyan she'in hama'at nikar. Aval an kol echad nikar la'atzmo, v'eino na'asa l'tafel, mevarech alav kol echad b'rchaso haru'yalo. Zak l'chaya adam. The only time that I make one bracha, the bracha of rov, is when the mi'ut, the minority ingredient in my fruit cocktail, it's the pineapple, is not discernible. It's not recognizable on its own. But if it's recognizable on its own, so then you make two brachas. That's what the Chaya Adam says. The Chaya Adam is assuming that the rule over here of rov is like the rule of rov in Yoredeya. No? In Yoredeya, sometimes there's some items which are batal barov. Yavesh be yavesh, right? Min bemino is going to be batal barov. Whatever the case is in Yoredeya. Okay, so when I talk about rov, though, the Achronim say, things are only batal if it's not recognizable. I can't say that something is batal if I'm looking at it. Right? What does batal mean? It means it loses its identity. Hey man, it didn't lose its identity. I'm looking right at it. So over here, dos is a pineapple, dos is a peach, dos is a cherry. It's very recognizable. So says the Chaya Adam, oh, because it's recognizable, it can't be batal barov. That's the chiddush of the Chaya Adam. The Mishnah Brura says we disagree with the Chaya Adam. If you look in Sifkat Nalef, the next verse, Mishnah Brura disagrees with the Chaya Adam. Right, in the second line going to the third line, v'afil kol minu min omei b'fnei atzmo v'nikar nami basa rov azlinon. Right, Mishnah Brura says you follow rov. In the Bir Halacha, he writes that if you want to be choshesh, if you want to be nervous about the Chaya Adam's position, saying you should never eat fruit cocktail straight up, what you should do is you should mash your fruit cocktail together, right, which kills the whole purpose, obviously. But that's what he writes. Yeah, David. Yes.
So
that's the machlokas about bugs.
But
the Achrayim over there are talking about if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan there in the Simen of bugs, in the Simen of Beri on Simen Kuf, where the Aruch HaShulchan has this discussion. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that when we talk about discernible, we mean discernible and easy to remove. That machlokas in Yoredeya is something that's discernible and very hard to remove. Right? Over here, it's pretty easy to get my pineapple out of my fruit cocktail. But it's very hard to get my bug out of my lettuce.
But is the Chaya Adam restricting himself to cases like that?
Probably. My understanding of the Chaya Adam is he's talking about that it's Nikar, and it's very Nikar, therefore it wouldn't be but on the rules of Yoredeya, but in Hilchos Brachos we have a slightly different definition of what Bitul means. That's how I understand the Chaya Adam. Good? Okay. So now, I have Ikar and Tafel that are mixed together. Right? And then, usually I know which one is serving which. I have ikar and tefillah that's not mixed together. Right, these are the basic dinim, I think, that we covered. Now, let's go on. What's the rationale for the din of ikar and tefillah? Conceptually, how come I make a bracha on my salty fish and I don't have to make a bracha on my bread? Why is that? So there are two ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is that the bread completely loses its identity. It is something that is totally insignificant now. Since the bread is here only for the salty fish, so the bread doesn't have its own independent standing, and it's an item that does not get any bracha whatsoever. If I eat, do not try this, but if you would eat an orange through the orange peel, no? Make a bracha on the peel? No, the peel has no independent standing, presumably, no?
Unless it's candied.
Okay, that's a different conversation. Yes, correct. There is such a thing out there called candied orange peels, so it might not be the best example, but the point I'm trying to get at, I think, is that certain items, perhaps, do not warrant any bracha because it's not a significant item. That's one approach. Approach number two, however, is that no, the tefillah needs a bracha. However, the bracha of the ikar works on the tefillah. It's not that we now have a case that I'm eating food without a bracha. Rather, we have a case that I am making a bracha on the tafel, but instead of the bracha the tafel usually gets, instead of the bread usually getting the hamotzi, in this case, the bread gets a shahakol, but I need a bracha on the bread. Right? These are the two possibilities that the poskim discuss. Says the Chazon Ish, he thinks that the possibility that the tafel really requires a bracha is the main possibility. And his proof is from what we saw earlier in the Tosos. Tosos asks, shouldn't the bracha on the fruit work for the salty fish, which works for the bread? So Tosos says, well, you didn't have in mind when you were eating the fruit that you would be eating the salty fish after. You didn't realize how sweet the fruit would be. Yeah. I haven't heard that it's canceled. I just don't know.
Okay.
Now, so the fact is, says the Chazon Ish, that I see from that Tosas asks, I should make a bracha on the fruit, and the bracha on the fruit would work for the fish also. But it doesn't work because I didn't have in mind the fish when I made the bracha on the fruit. That means that fundamentally, the fish needs its own bracha. And therefore, I have to have in mind when I make the bracha on the fruit, that's going to go on the fish. If I didn't have in mind, it doesn't work. Because this item, the fish, needs a bracha. The bread needs a bracha. But the bracha on the fish works for the bread. That's the Chazon Ish's proof. Good? So effectively, we are saying that the second approach to Ikar and Tafel, the approach that the Tafel really needs a bracha, but the bracha on the main food works for it, that approach is the favorite approach according to the Chazon Ish. So far, so good? Now, there are other proofs that can be brought to this idea. One proof that can be brought to this idea, very quickly, is Rabbi Forst, in his book on page 206, he says, you know what, the halacha is I'm not allowed to eat anything in the world without a bracha. So it can't be that the first approach is correct. The first approach is saying, oh, there's no bracha? Why not? It's not significant? No! It doesn't matter how insignificant something is. Everything gets a bracha. By the way, we can read the Chazon Ish inside. Here, let's read it. Dehad de ikar polteres ha-tafel, ein pirushot de tafel, ein sarich bracha. Right, you see, on the first side, I'm totally jumping around with you, but that's fine. Right, first side of the page, it says Chazon Ish, Orachayim Siman Chav Zayin Letter Tes. This is the ikar exempts tafel. Ein perusho. It does not mean that the tafel does not require bracha. Did natal chiyuv bracha mimenu, that the obligation to make a bracha was removed from it. Rather, ella perusho shatafel ein sarech bracha didei. Ella shatzarech ata birchata ikar. It means it doesn't need its own bracha, but the bracha of the ikar works for it. That's what the Chazon Ish says. And he proves it from this Tosfos that we saw earlier. Beautiful Chazon Ish. Beautiful Chazon Ish.
Didn't we learn last week that water doesn't require bracha?
Water doesn't require bracha if I'm drinking the water only to avoid getting choked from some bone.
Uh-huh. What about didn't you also say that if you're using water to take medicine, the water doesn't need bracha?
Right, if I... You need water because that's the same as chanakta umtza. It's the same as like having a bone stuck in my throat. In other words, so that is something that is unique to water, because water doesn't give me hana'a. I don't get, right? And that's why the Acharonim say, but if I have orange juice to get my pill down, I have to make a bracha, for sure, no? Because then I get hana'a. That's what we pointed out from the Mishnah Berurah there last week. Now, this idea that the bracha, that the tafel really requires a bracha, Rabbi Four says, is obvious because nothing in the world can go without a bracha. Similarly, I think we can see this idea from another application of Ikar and Tafel, just very briefly. The concept of Ikar and Tafel is not found only by food items. The concept of Ikar and Tafel is found also by brachos on mitzvos, no? Let's say a person is doing two mitzvos, one after the other, and one mitzvah is the main mitzvah, the second mitzvah is a secondary mitzvah. You're going to ask, what am I talking about? So the halacha is you make a bracha only on the main mitzvah and on the secondary mitzvah, and that might be Ikar and Tafel. Last Mishnah in Pesachim says, if I make a bracha on my Korban Pesach, remember, Pesach, right, the 14th day of Nisan, you bring a Korban Pesach. You also bring a Chagiga of Yudalet, no? The Chagig of Yudalit is there basically to fill me up so that when I eat my Pesach, I'm eating the Pesach on the full stomach. Says the Mishnah, if I make a bracha on the Korban Pesach, Bircha Pesach, Patar Shel Zevach. Why? Most understand that's the same type of idea of Ikar and Tafel, but it's found in the context of mitzvos. There is a way to get out of this raya if you'll look in Rav Huttner's... the Sefer Zikaron for Rav Huttner. They published some of his Torah. So Rav Huttner has an interesting understanding of that Mishnah Pesachim that doesn't prove what we're trying to say. But the simple meaning of the Mishnah Pesachim is that that's the din of Ikar and Tafel. We all see the din of Ikar and Tafel on the halacha that comes up once a year. And that is Sukkos. No? The din is I'm supposed to eat in the Sukkah. I'm supposed to sleep in the Sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Do I make a bracha when I go to sleep in the Sukkah? Says Rabbi Natan, no, I don't. Why not? Because it's tafel to eating. The main mitzvah of, again, the mitzvah is leishe basukkah, to live in the sukkah. Living means eating and sleeping, right? It's all part of living, but the main thing, apparently, is your eating. Your sleeping is tafel, says Rabbi Natan, to your eating. Therefore, I don't make a bracha when I go to sleep in the sukkah. But, because what we're suggesting is that really, fundamentally, the tafel should get a bracha, rather the, like the Chazon Ish says, but the bracha of the Ikar works for the Tafel. So therefore, in a situation that I do not make a bracha on the Ikar, for whatever the reason, so then I'd have to make a bracha on the Tafel. Let me explain. In the context of Sukkah, okay, so let's say I go an entire day on Sukkah, so I'm not really going to eat any bread. I'm only going to eat yogurt all day. So in that situation, I have to make a bracha when I go to sleep in the sukkah at night. Because the only reason why I don't make a bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah is because my bracha on the eating exempted ikar and tafel, exempted my sleeping. But in a situation I didn't eat, again, obviously you're not allowed to fast on sukkahs, but if I didn't eat, in the sense that I didn't eat any bread or any mezonos, anything that's obligated in sukkah, so then I... Right? Then I'd have to make a bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah. Yeah?
If you have a hadama, the ikar, ha'etz is the tafel. You made a hadama before about on a pre.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. That's another application of this principle. Absolutely.
So
we'll get there. We'll get there in a minute. Yeah. David?
Just to clarify, so in the Gemara's case with the fish and the bread, if for some reason you, let's say, just forgot to make your hakol on the fish.
So then I'd have to make a hamotzi on the bread. That's okay. Correct. That is correct, absolutely. Now,
definitely you would have to bench.
What?
You would definitely have to bench too.
I think so.
Because, I mean, you still.
In other words, it's like a funny thing, right? You're saying, oh no, so then I might not have to bench. And then I could make a hamotzi on the bread, but I'd make a borei nefasha. So let's say I eat without a bracha at the beginning. I still make a bracha achrona, right? So that, right, that's a real collector's item. You're making a hamotzi at the beginning of the meal, and the borei nefasha at the end of the meal, and you did it right.
And actually,
or partially wrong.
What fruit was that? The
pears ginosa? Well, pears ginosa are like very sweet fruits. No, probably a ha'itz fruit.
Is it al ha'itz al
probably, I don't know. No, I have no idea.
I'm just wondering whether that's a bracha on all three things.
Okay, oh, what bra... Yeah, so we'll talk about some of those cases in a minute, and we'll get dizzy. Ready?
So if you're saying that the ikar is to eat in the sukkah, and you say the leishev for eating in the sukkah, and why is it that on the second night we switch to brachas?
Longer conversation, not for now. Okay. Not for now. Okay, let's go on. Now, because what we're saying is that the tafel itself should require a bracha, but the bracha of the ikar works for it. It's not the tafel is insignificant. So Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman says, he's like 99 years old or 102. He's like really old. Halavai, we should get to that age. They just beat him up like a few months ago, no? Some mishugana. Right? You saw the story in the news? Right? Because he, what was it again about the elections? He supported the wrong party, right? Or the right party, as the case was. So like some mishugana went and broke in and like beat up this 99-year-old gadol. Right, crazy world that we live in. So if Aaron Leib Steinman has an interesting case, let's say I'm eating two food items, an ikar and a tafel. I have, let's say, an avocado on bread. Right? Ikar and tafel. So I make a hamotzi. Do I make a shehecheyano on the avocado if I haven't had avocado all year? Or if avocado is now in season, I put a new jam on the bread. I make a shachianu. So if the understanding of ikar and tafel is that the tafel is completely insignificant, doesn't warrant a bracha, so I can't make a shachianu on it. But if it is something that gets a bracha, but the bracha of the ikar exempts it, so then I have to make a shachianu on my avocado or on my spread, even though, right? Very interesting approach that Rabbi Aaron Leib has. Where are my notes? Yeah.
So what bracha would you say on guacamole? Because everything is the ikar.
Everything is the ikar?
Because
guacamole?
The
ikar is the rove. The rove is the guacamole. You add a little bit of... Yeah, the rove is the
avocado.
You add a little bit of oil and a little bit of spices and stuff.
You add tomato, you add...
Right, but
spices,
the rove is, I think, clearly, the majority is clearly
so
the...
You say it on the avocado.
Yeah. Okay, next. The Rambo writes. Here. Let's pick up top of the page. Aval. Here. Huh. You see, it's four lines from the bottom of the first source. Ha de mevarchen. The word ha is like, I don't know, it's like right towards a quarter of the way into the line. Ha de mevarchen ikar palter tatfela. This I make a bracha on the ikar and I exempt the tafel. Hainu sha'ochlan biyachad, o sha'ochel ha'ikar tchila. Right, this is the case that you were mentioning, David. Right, that's the case when I eat them together, or I first eat the ikar. Aval, im ochel ha'tafel tchila. Kigon, shirotze lishtos. Everybody knows that drinking on an empty stomach isn't good for you. So I'm only eating now, right? Mamash a tzaddik. He's only eating in order to be able to drink after. So the food is really tafel to the drink, no? The weird case. Or I want to sweeten up... I think some poskim talk about like that. You know, they put like sugar cubes in order to sweeten the stuff that comes after. Again, it might not be a great example for other reasons. So the halacha, it says the Rama, is mevarech ala ochel tchila, af bi shatafel shtiya, ve'eino mevarech alav rak shehakol, ho'el v'hu tafel l'davar acher. Says the Rama, in this weird case, right, what am I doing? I really want to drink, right? You want to drink, it's New Year's. But, you know, drinking on the empty stomach ain't good for you. So I'm eating before I drink in order to be able to drink, right? A weird, warped case like that. So says the Rama, in that case, your eating is tafel to your drinking. So far, so good? Even though I'm doing it first, it's tafel. But because I have not yet done my drinking, and I'm eating, so I have to make a bracha on the tafel, even though tafel usually doesn't get any bracha. In this case, it gets a bracha, but you make a bracha, which bracha? Shahakol. That's what the Rama says. Now, what? Eino mevarech alav rak shahakol, ho v'hu tafel l'davar acher. So, amazing. Let's say I'm drinking, I'm eating food in order to help me drink later. So I make a shahakol on the food that I eat. Now, there is a machlokas here in the Magen Avraham. It happens just the way I prepare these shiurim, I always think I'm going to present it in one order, and then when I present it, so if we jump around, that's just my lack of complete organization. But the Magen Avraham, it's like the middle of the second page, no? Magen Avraham. Nirali, da arzara svirali, di davka bazeshu tafel ishtiyat sha'ar mashkim, vayirai lovarecha amashka shahakol liftar zeh. Says the Magen Avraham that he thinks the case is, remember, I'm eating because I want to drink later. Zok the Magen Avraham, the case is that you're going to drink beer. Beer is a shahakol. So the food that I eat is tafel to my beer. So that's why it's a shahakol.
The pretzel
right?
You eat is a shahakol.
What? The pretzel's a shahakol because it's there only to help the beer, so therefore I make on the pretzel what bracha? The beer bracha. Aval kishabircha teikar hu davar acher. But let's say, right, I'm going to drink wine, and I'm eating pretzels to help me drink wine, so what bracha do I make? Bar pri agaf in my pretzel.
That's strange.
Is that what he said? That's what he's saying, no?
Kishabircha
teikahu davar acher, eino mevarech alav shakol. I mean, that's what he means. He means that the tafel takes on the identity of the ikar.
You're sure it doesn't mean that you just wouldn't think about that at all?
I don't think so. No. In fact, if you'll look in the Arzarua, he says that you make the bracha of the ikar, and the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat in Yod.
That's observed, it doesn't apply.
Here, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat in Yod quotes the Magen Avraham, and he writes three lines on the bottom, Lachem mevarech alav kibirchat ha'ikar. You make the bracha on it the same as the bracha of the ikar. Good?
Mm-hmm. That's a great trivia.
What?
That's a great.
It's an amazing trivia question, right? How do you make a hagofen on a pretzel? Okay. Right, so the answer is I'm eating pretzels in order to be able to drink wine after. Aval, in the Trumat HaDeshen, he says that the Urzarua is talking about a case, Ra'afir rosa l'shtot yayin, still you make a shahakol, ho v'hein tfeilin hifsidu birchatam ha'atzmiyim, and you make a shahakol. In other words, there's two explanations of this position that is quoted in the Rama. When the Rama says, they make a shahakol when I eat my pretzels, so the Magen Avraham says, oh, you're eating pretzels to drink beer. But the Trumas Hadeshen says, no. Right? Even when I eat pretzels to drink wine, I make a shahakol, because the pretzels lose their independent identity as a pretzel. Right? It's a generic food, basically. And generic food gets shahakol. That's the other explanation. This, of course, this question has to do with the Chazon Ish that we
began with as well. The Chazon Ish is saying that Tafel is not something that does not get any bracha. Rather, the bracha of the Ikar works for the Tafel. If that's the case, so then I just created an amazing situation that I make a Bari Priya Goffin on the pretzel.
Wow.
Right? That is what should emerge according to the Chazon Ish's rationale. That's what they point out.
The Chazon Ish, even if you eat a tafel before, or just if you eat a...
So the Chazon Ish doesn't say explicitly that it's not true if I eat the tafel before. Presumably, he's explaining the rule of Ikar and Tafel in general. Some people are mefalpel in the Chazon Ish to get out of this issue. But the pashtus is that the Chazon Ish would just side with the Magen Avraham, not the Trumas Hadeshen. That's the pashtus, yeah. Yeah, Orly?
What if you have a kazayas of the tafel?
Okay, so now, let's go on. Let's say I'm eating my salty fish, and I have bread after to make it palatable. Right? So far, so good? So I make a shahakol on my bread. Right? Or the bracha of the salty fish, the shahakol on the salty fish, goes to the bread. So far, so good. That's basic Judaism. Now, obviously, you don't eat that much salty fish, so I eat less than a kazayas of salty fish. But I eat a full kazayas of bread. Now what happens? What happens about the bracha achrona? Can I make a berei nefashos? Well, I would say, no, you can't make a berei nefashos. I didn't eat enough fish for a berei nefashos. Can I bench? How could I bench? I didn't make a hamotzi. No? What should I do? Again, it should depend on the question of Ikar and Tafel. If the Tafel does not get any bracha whatsoever, okay, so no bracha. But if it gets the bracha of the Ikar, so in a situation that the Ikar does not get a bracha, because I can't make a bracha on the Ikar, because I didn't eat enough Ikar to make a bracha, so then I could argue that you make a bracha on the Tafel. And then you should make... You should bench in that case, no?
Why not
Berei Nefashos? So I would say because Berei Nefashos doesn't really work on bread on its own. In this case, I can't make a Berei Nefashos. I didn't have the sheer Berei Nefashos. That's what I would say. Yeah, you might be Mechavin to Rav Moshe if you say something good. So one could argue that in this case the bread becomes part of the fish. No? The bread becomes part of the fish, and therefore the bread combines and gives me a full kizayis, as it were, of fish, and then I should make a brain of fushel. So that's what Rav Moshe assumes. If you look in the Truva Negris Moshe, first side of the page, we'll just do the last two lines of Negris Moshe. It's very hard to read the Negris Moshe. Aval, he writes, two lines on the bottom, Berei Nefashos Rabos, Sarich Levarech, Mishum de Mitzuraf Leshi'ur HaMaliach, Al Kol Panim Levarech, Berei Nefashos Rabos. He says that it combines to the shear of the salty fish. Wow. As Rav Moshe assumes. Again, conceptually it's interesting. We'll just talk about one more case and then we'll be done. Yeah. The Alamechia works with Berei Nefashos?
No, the other way around. That the Berei Nefashos, for some reason...
I don't think Rav Moshe really assumes that way. And as we usually assume that Berei Nefashos wouldn't work for an Alamechia. I'm not familiar. Again, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm not familiar. Okay, let's go on. Last example that I want to talk about. Actually, you know what? The last one is complicated. Maybe we'll let you read it on your own. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, the top of page 2 with the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion and letter Ayin, you'll have another case that's one of these interesting permutations of Ikar and Tafel of Bracha Achrona, another interesting case. Okay, so let's just summarize what we did tonight. basically, we spoke about Ikar and Tafel, the definition of which one I make the bracha on. So in some cases, it's obvious, because one food is clearly assisting the other. In case where it's not so obvious, we generally follow Rove. We spoke about the Chaya Adam versus normal Judaism, about that, and then we moved on to the Chazal Nish's conceptual analysis that Ikar and Tafel, the Tafel really requires a bracha, right? And we pointed out that what should emerge, in the, according to that analysis, is that in a situation when, for whatever the reason, I don't make a bracha on the Ikar, so then the Tafel should get its own bracha, presumably. That's what should emerge in the Chazal Nish's analysis. We spoke about that in the context of the bracha on sleeping in the sukkah, right, which is an obscure type of Ikar and Tafel application, and that would be relevant as well for some of these cases. Let's say I would maintain that according to Chazal Nish, you should probably bench in that case when I didn't have a full shear of a kezias of my salty fish, but I did have a full kezias of the bread. I should probably bench according to Chazal Nish. Question? On what? Crest on what? Yeah.
So I always assumed that it was tafel to the pie, but it struck me once that they often cookbooks have diet recipes, which are essentially the pie without the crust, to save some calories, and nobody likes them. I don't want to eat just the cheese filling. I want the cookie crust on the bottom. Uh-huh. Then I wondered if you make.
So this is something that we spoke about in the con. I agreed with you when we spoke about cheesecake in this year. I thought that cheesecake should be a shahakol. I thought that the crust in cheesecake is like the cone for an ice cream. It's there just to hold it in place. What you're saying is that we were both wrong.
Because it strikes me that
it happens that according to the Ramah, what you could do in these situations to solve all problems is you could just eat the tafel before the ikar and make a shahakol on it. In other words, take a spoon, take some cheesecake, make a shahakol on it. For the Ramah, that's going to be okay. Right? Especially because it could be that the crust, again, and it could be this is the type of tafel that is a complete tafel that would help even by mizonos, similar to what we wanted to suggest in the context of schnitzel and the like, that we make a shahakol on schnitzel. That's our practice. So it's possible that our svara is right. It's possible our svara is wrong. According to the Ramah, just eat some of the cheese on its own. Eat the tafel before and make a shahakol on it. And then if you're nervous about the bracha on the crust, and then eat another cookie on the side and make a mizonos on that. In most cases, by the cheesecake, I don't think you have a kezias across, right? Okay. This is very hard. These dinim, I thank you for coming and listening. Yashikah. Thank you.